will do it. It won't cost me a thing.
You right. Might be in trouble.
I'm usually in trouble. So that was fun. That could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
We just concluded an episode with a special guest. And now, I think she's here still. Anyway, now she's upstairs.
The worst part is we sat here for about a half hour shooting the shit, and it was some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, well.
And now we're going to climb up now as soon as the mic starts.
I am a robot. Did we do that one yet? That one never gets old. I'm going to get this thing over here just in case. If I have to belch, which is there's a probability that could happen. I got to figure out which
ghost, monster, robot.
I'm going to go robot, so it's the number two. Remind me to go number two when I have to burp.
Well, oh, no. I will.
That could be confusing.
It could be.
Cripes. All right. Well, is this another episode?
This is. Let's do it.
It's happening. What's the word for when, like, androgynous means you don't know the gender of something, but what about when you don't know the number of something? Because we don't know what number episode this is.
Yeah.
And it you might be guess. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. We don't know that either.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
All I gotta do is call. Artist, go. James Taylor.
Yeah, you're right.
And anyway, we just concluded an episode with my wife on it, and I don't know if that'll come out before or after this one, so
we'll wait and see. I think before, because we're going to do the radio game.
How'd you think it went? You can say. No one's going to hear this.
It was fine.
It was fine. I thought she did very well.
She did.
I have to say that, though, because otherwise I'm screwed. She seemed a lot more comfortable and less, like, hyped than I thought she would be, so.
Well, she sat in a couple of times.
I guess, yeah.
And not been on mic, but.
Like brand new.
So.
She was on my the mom episode, and then think drink. She hung out for a little.
Yeah.
So here we are, Mark and Jim, the Ascertainers. You're in the right place. You're not, if this is...
Maybe.
European history. We pee. Mark just peed. I don't pee as much as you. Interesting. Sherlock Holmes over here. Anyway, the Ascertainers are a podcast about, what is it? What do we call ourselves? Music, musings, and other drivel. I think is what our official tagline is.
I think so. That's the second
tagline. Yeah, the first tagline. One was horrible.
Yeah.
What was the first one?
Jones's Perspective.
A Generation Jones Perspective. Yeah. And
people go, what the hell is that?
Nobody gives a shit. All right. Who's this Generation Jones guy? And, you know, just get out with the swears and the musics. Just tell us what we know about Led Zeppelin and that they're the best for 42 minutes a week. We're about 42 minutes long, which is about 40 minutes longer than we should be, and which means that this part of the podcast shouldn't even exist or see the light of day. That's Mark.
Hello, everyone. He's nodding to me to say more, but I'd like to keep my talking to more concise, and when I do speak, people want to hear it. I'm like Merrill Lynch.
You're not making a very good argument for yourself.
Or who is the guy when they on the airplane that they say?
E.F. Hutton.
Yeah, that's who I am.
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. That was a pretty good ad if we're talking about that thing like 50 years later.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Some guy in a three-piece suit that drinks scotch for breakfast and smacks his wife around when he gets home.
Sad part is E.F. Hutton's not around anymore.
Drives a Lincoln Continental.
So they couldn't have been that good.
Isn't a Lincoln Continental the height of luxury?
I thought Cadillac was.
Okay, iPhone. The Lincoln Continental was to cars as an Android is to an iPhone, which would be a Cadillac. We tried this on that other episode. It didn't work either. But Anyway, Ashtainers, a couple of guys from Minnesota, about the same age. Mark's a ton older, but we're both 60 somehow. And we live in Minnesota. We talk about that yet? We go to our sponsor, Newt's, takes care of us every episode. So go to Newt's. Make sure you ask for their new... it's so new they might not know about it, but it's the Ascertainer Burger. Mark, you want to talk about your favorite Ascertainer Burger moment?
I am.
What's on the Ascertainer Burger?
I'm not even going to bring it up because I just got over Corey not hitting me tonight.
You think you're on probation still?
Yeah.
Well, this might come out in a few weeks. Maybe he forgets all about it.
Yeah. Why bring it back up? The guy could kick my ass. Kick his ass, Seabass.
He can kick both of us and all of our friends' ass. Which, you know what? And I don't think he ever would, but he could.
He could.
So that's the thing.
A great hashtag on their last episode when you wrote.
Oh, you read those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't say what it is. We'll just make you go to episode 53, read the write-up, and down in the bottom is, it makes me feel good that you read those. I didn't think anybody did. I thought it was just for me, just for my... I like to write. I like to express myself verbally. I'd be talking. What's it? In writing.
Me write good. Like good write.
Oh, shit. All right, well... So this is episode 2 of the evening, our second episode that we're recording tonight. I have no idea when it's going to come out. We just did an episode with my wife, Chris, and I think it went very, very well. Thank her for being on.
Yeah, thank you.
And we kind of started getting into 1976, and I pulled a little bit of a punch by keeping my good material for episode 2, when it would just be Mark and I, and we're going to talk about 1976 songs, specific songs that we were listening to in 76. So what that means is that it might have come out at the end of 75, but we're not, I guess, you know, I was listening to, you know, the Beatles from 1962 and 1976 too, but we're not talking about that. So we're talking about stuff that came out around 1976. Wow, having a towel on the table it's almost encourages what I just did, which was spill my beer. And it didn't hit anything, except for that exposed wire.
When I plug it in, I'm just going to... Could be like a 9-volt.
Monster, ghost, alien, robot.
Jip. Wow, so loud.
Jip spilled his beer.
This thing is wet. I spilled the beer. Well, I didn't spill it. I tipped it over. And then I picked it up with my cat-like reflexes. But anyway, we talked a little bit about Newt's, which is our signature sponsor. They've taken care of us for well over a year. In fact, the podcast was born, or at least conceived, in the back booth of Newt's. Sounds like a Springsteen song a little bit there, didn't it? But anyway, Mark is deep into his phone right now. Is everything okay? Did E.F. Hutton call? Sell! Mortimer, pork bellies. We got to talk about great Eddie Murphy movies, or Audie Murphy, either way, either one. Are you going to buy lottery tickets for tomorrow? It's going to be 900 mil something.
I don't know yet. Well, I'm going to roll the dice.
You know, $2, change your life.
Oh, WKRP, didn't they always do the Hog Report on there?
Yeah.
Who is that? Les Nessman.
But what's that got to do with the
Don't
lottery?
Yawn on the podcast because the other people are listening.
I don't
and
think they would have known until you yelled.
No, I pick it up every time when I'm editing.
I'm bored. This thing sucks. You know Joe Rogan's on too? The smartless guys? Just stop me. If you start talking, I'll stop naming other better podcasts.
Well, don't yawn and people will listen to us, not them.
The Ascertainers is good, I hear. Wink.
They got a hamburger.
They do. They got their hamburger. I didn't see the Joe Rogan burger there.
Or the Smartless.
I'm tipping my imaginary glasses up and down like Matt Foley, asking if Bill Shakespeare's over there. Is that Bill Shakespeare? Okay, you like to write, huh? Okay. Well, anyway, here we are together. here we are together today. So, Newts, Corey, don't mess with Corey. Ask him for the Ascertainer Burger, and then run. And then all the rest of the Newts crew, hi, how are you? We enjoy seeing you. Thanks for the great service tonight. We had spinach artichoke
dip, maybe which is choke.
A key ingredient in the Ascertainer Burger, by the way. And then, it was just so good.
It was.
Mm-mm. Ran into a bunch of people we know. I think that one of us needs to run for the mayor of Newts. I think we do well. Because a lot of people know us there because of, you know, how famous we are for the podcast.
Is this like McDonald's? Am I going to be like
just
that?
You know, I'm fucking not serious when I say that.
We'd be like the Hamburglar or Grimace or whatever.
Who would you want to be? Which McDonald's guy? I'll let you pick first.
I don't know what Grimace is. A purple...
He's like a purple hairy guy. He's like phlegm. He could. But he tried out for the Mucinex spot. When he shows up, his knees are all fucking banged up. He's old. I could do snot. I could do mucus. What do you need? Phlegm? Phlegm takes it out of me. I can't do phlegm.
I would be the head one, Ronald McDonald.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that instant clarification. You'd want to be Ronald McDonald?
Yeah, he's the chief. He's the big shot.
I would want to be Ernie.
Who the hell is
I'm just kidding. I mixed my cartoon characters. I would totally want to be Mayor McCheese. Are you kidding?
No, I'd be
two. Hamburglar and Mayor McCheese. Those are my two top.
I always felt bad for Mayor McCheese.
Why?
Because I was thinking people would want to take a bite out of him or something. And I mean, he's a hamburger or a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
He's probably pretty good.
Okay, I didn't think of that all the way through.
That's where my mind goes.
But he walked around like a man. He was... Sorry, I can't do it. It's so close to Easter. I can't. I'm going to go straight to hell.
You brought it up.
By the way, I should do this off air, but when we were talking about lawn darts, that was one of my most underhanded jokes ever that probably flew over.
That's pretty funny the way you said that.
99% right of people's heads, but for the one person that got it, that's not my mom, because I'm sure she got it, where I talked about the holes in the feet.
Oh, yeah.
You'll listen to that one again.
I do.
If I have to explain it.
I just got it now that you explained it.
Well, then I wish I hadn't. So anyway, we did Newts. We have no errors and omissions because we covered those on the previous episode. We'll jump into the radio game. We might actually get on topic here pretty quick, like.
Sure.
All right. I got to add two bands. Or did you just gonna do Buck with the originals?
Start with the originals, and then we'll add the two. So, I'll start with mine.
Yeah, okay.
And while you're looking something up.
Well, I'm not going to look anything up. I'm just going to write two down. I got them. Go ahead.
Mine are 1976 themed, and last time my one hit were the Manhattans, Kiss and Say Goodbye, two people having an affair, and they're breaking up, and Gary Wright, who had two hits. In
Dreamweaver and My Love is Alive.
Correct.
Oh, my long shots last time were The Knack and Question Mark and the Mysterians.
And I had Peter Frampton. Peter Frampton Came Alive that year. And Boston, their debut,
you say?
Album. Dropped.
Canada's top podcast. I had Scorpions and Bad Company. To that, I'm going to add George Thorogood and Styx. Styx was on the charts that year.
Okay. I was going to go with my lesser-known Cliff Richard, Devil Woman, but your wife...
Do it. No, that was a separate episode.
No, but I'm going to go with...
Well, it seems like you're doing with Cliff Richard.
I will go with Beach Boys.
On KQ, Beach Boys.
Well, Rock and Roll Music, which was a hit in 1976. Oh. And then the Eagles, because Hotel California came out in 76.
Is that Peaceful, Easy Feeling? I thought there was other Eagles songs that year, but...
They also had First Greatest Hits.
That's what it was from. Okay.
Album. Came out the same year.
Got you. Okay, so you got Eagles and Who's the second one you added? New?
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys. Okay. Give it a listen.
Oh, that's me.
Mark's now the guy who listens because he's way more patient than me. And he's got this technique. So picture a guy walking around with headphones on. And then he's got an earbud wire. He looks like he's getting ready to go to the space. Oh, there's a song on. He's grooving and moving. Oh, it might be Disco Duck.
It's close.
Oh, what are you doing?
I was going to get up and dance. Do you think...
The Macarena?
Do you think What's-His-Name will be dancing around when he's 40? It's a movie quote from...
Give me another hint. This is good radio. Give us another hint.
It's Rolling Stones.
Oh, it's him and Jagger?
Yeah.
74, the devil. What song? He doesn't even know. He's the biggest Stones
With
fan.
With my shoes on my feet. Oh. Put me out. Put me out. Put me out of misery.
Don't sing it. I got to go through it faster in my head. Oh, edit this blank space out.
I could suck at that.
Chin up there. Peace of mind. Keep that in because there's probably people listening just yelling out, "Peace and burn, you idiot! Shut the hell up!" I'm gonna go mow the yard. I'm gonna go cut the grass.
You think everyone got it because of my great singing?
Oh, if they could have only seen what that mostly looked like, Houdini trying to get out of a fucking straitjacket. That would have been good.
I taped my headphones to the table to try to keep it from making a noise.
Oh, yeah. That's new. We got fucking green painter's tape. It's frog tape.
It almost knocked me down trying to get up.
Okay, we lost at the radio game. Go figure.
Good thing we're not recorded on camera.
We might. I like the fact that you came up with like the first three words of the song and then put ourselves through like four verses. I am Beast of Burden. Is that the name of the song? Beast of Burden?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. All right.
Well, I'm going to go with it now.
Yeah, why not? Why deviate now? All right. 1976 is a pretty good year. Bicentennial. That means 200 years. Mark. Jimmy Carter was our president.
Yeah.
Our Olympic hockey team was 4 years away from being good. And the music was pretty good. You know what was really good? Music was good. And we're each going to throw five songs out that we thought were fucking cool.
I don't have that many left because I put a lot out.
Well, I got like a whole bunch, but I have five that I dedicated for this episode because I, you know, Mark, I care. With a listener. And by listener, I mean, thanks, Charlie. Thanks for hanging in there. Of course, Charlie's listening at 2x speed, so he's already done with this episode. Exactly. He's like fucking Turbo Chuck. That's what we call him on the block. So, anyway, one thing I'll say about 1976 is that it was a pretty good year for sitcoms because there were a fuckajillion. Like, I looked at the top, it was dumb. You want to hear a couple or no?
Can I name them? It was...
Well, the top of the chart, you know.
Happy Days.
Yep. And followed by the Laverne show and Shirley. That came right after it. Yep.
Another one would be Three's Company.
Yep.
Go ahead.
All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Good Times.
Oh, wow.
MASH.
MASH, yeah.
Oh, God, there's like six others. That, I mean, it's just... We don't like when we do lists, but these are quite impressive.
For Craig's sake.
We'll get back to that after we talk about some bands and stuff. So I picked five songs and I spent like literally 15 minutes on this, so I gave it some effort, but it's not so much if it was the greatest song, because I'll tell you right now, Bohemian Rhapsody is not on my list. Now that's not to say that's not the best song of that year. I wasn't listening to Bohemian Rhapsody then. I crossed American Girl off, one of my favorite songs of all time. I didn't start listening to that until I was like 40.
So, going back to Bohemian Rhapsody, yes. That was either a love or hate song at the time. A lot of people thought, you know what, that's like a
too much
opera song. That's not rock and roll to me.
I can see where
I've had that argument in high school.
In bathhouses all over the country. The world, really.
It was a locker room. I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
Sure it was. It's like, oh, slap. Oh, my towel. Slap. Oh, you hit like a girl. Oh, slap. Ah, somebody to... yes, Queen was a, you know, probably a redneck's nightmare because it was so good and they had to like wrestle with it. Like the, I can't say, what's his name? Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know. He had a song, and this is no disrespect to any lifestyle choices, but it's called The Gays Got Married. And it's a spoof on a Taylor Swift song. About it basically is just it makes fun of straight white guys, and it's very entertaining, very funny, and maybe a little eye opening. But anyway,
I don't like to laugh at myself.
What's that?
I don't like to laugh at myself. I don't think I would like it.
You, it had nothing to do with you, but no, think about if you were like a guy wearing a beechnut tobacco hat and wearing overalls, which was kind of the fashion of the day, maybe some Red Wing boots. And you heard You're My Best Friend by Queen. And it's one of the best songs ever written.
Oh, I love that song.
But you can't tell your friends that you like that song because they'll make fun of you. That's not Waylon Jennings, motherfucker.
I actually love that song all the way from the first time I heard it. And I don't mind telling people.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with my masculinity. So don't laugh at that.
Yeah, you were the only one. But anyway. So, yes, Queen. So, the point I was making is that the songs on my list, and this is for Pat K, we're actually going to talk about the topic tonight and talk about music, although he's probably stopped listening to us about 45 episodes ago. So, I have three songs from the rock category, but one of them is a ballad. And then I have a disco one, and I have an R&B one. But I've got, like, there's just so many. So anyway, do you want me to do one of mine? We go back and forth until you run out, or what do you want to
sure,
do?
Sure, that's great.
All right, I'm going to go with my first one. I'm just going to go hard out of the gate there.
Phrasing.
Boston, More Than a Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I remember where I was when I heard that song. And it was at the house across the street with the smart kids. And they were jamming to it. I'm like, you guys listen to good music? And it was like, wow. It was like a whole portal opened up that day. Because it's like, shit, that's good music. It sounded weird. The guitars were so, they kind of had this compression to them. Where it was just like, what is this?
Come when on. You hear that today, though, you still get that same feeling. That it's
more
is,
than a feeling.
It's just a wonderful tune. I mean, it's a great tune. Yeah, that one, that's an impressive song. I don't even know how to explain how that just carries through. That's a classic
there
rock
you go.
Song.
Well, I'm glad I live with that one. No, they're all going to suck after this.
They are.
The one knock I have against Boston is that...
You can't cover them.
Pretty signature song, sound.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's kind of like, they sound a little bit alike from song to song. So, but like Zeppelin. You could hear two Zeppelin songs that sound like... There's no way that's the same band. With Boston, it was always like, yeah, Boston.
Yeah.
But I know you can't cover him, because why, Mark?
Because he goes such a high voice. He'll hit that high note, and then he'll go an octave higher.
Goes to 11.
He went on.
He basically could have been Nigel, God, I forget his name. It's David St. Hubbins. I think Spinal Tap is coming out with another... Like a reprise, is that how you say that? Like a sequel to Spinal Tap.
Wow.
With the same three guys.
Yeah.
Main three guys. And then Viv Savage, you know, anybody could play Viv Savage, the keyboardist. And then they had a lot of drummers that would spy.
He's the combust. So
who knows who's back there behind the kit.
Who was their manager?
Oh, crud. I can see him, but I can't think of his name, but we'll come up with that later. Speaking of 1976 songs, what do you got?
I will go on to Dry Your Eyes by Neil Diamond.
I don't know that song.
Nobody does. But it was a hit in 1976. But the beat is so wrong.
I was worried about my socks, but now I feel worried about yours. The dry your eyes? Was it a toe tapper?
No, because
did
it's...
you say any of the words of the song? You're very good at describing songs.
Well, dry your eyes.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so that's also part of the song?
It is.
Well, it's so obvious now. Oh, now I know. Oh, yeah, I love that one.
It's a great song, but it's not catchy because the timing is... it's almost like it's always offbeat, and you can't tap your toes to it because it doesn't... it doesn't have a rhythm. Yeah.
Did Rush cover it? They named it Tom Sawyer.
But I do love that song. It was on... Neil Diamond sang it during The Last Waltz, the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't just you hold up in your bedroom. Sorry, hold up. Phrasing. In your bedroom with the door locked in your baseball mitt and an empty thing of oil. Dry your eyes. Be on the lookout for that. And while you're listening to it, order the Ascertainer Burger. Two imaginary things that you'll
That's
never
not
see.
Nice.
Not only together, but apart. So, all right. I'm going to go with my second one. I'm trying to do this in the right order. I'm going to go with my R&B one. And this was tough, but I went with Sarah Smile by the great...
Hall.
Sir Daryl Hall and the other guy.
Yeah.
Oates.
The one suing him.
Oates. Hey, Oates. Nice job on that one. What were you, fucking woodblock? You played the guitar on that hit that I don't recall a guitar even being in. No, thanks. Well, actually, that one there is. That's actually a good guitar opening.
And
so anyway, Hall & Oates, American band, very underrated. Sarah Smile, for two reasons. There are two Sarahs that I really like in my life, and I have an Aunt Sarah. Not that I don't like her, she's just really not in my life.
Did Oates harmonize with...
Sure, just like Alex Lifeson harmonized. And for Alex Lifeson to have a mic was for like...
But there are two people singing when they say Smile.
It might be double-track Daryl's voice.
You're right.
Could be, I don't know. Daryl Hall has got some pipes, so...
He does.
Very good. But... the reason I picked that as my, and it the ones that it beat are impressive, but it's just there are certain songs that just completely just thrust you back in into a different time. Wow, Mark, get your eyes back rolled into the front of your head there. Wow, I thought you lost there for a sec. A lot of thrusting. He ended up on a lot of thrust talk out, probably, as far as you know.
I hate that word.
Yeah. Wow, trauma. Anyway, that and, I'm not going to deviate from the list, but there's just a bunch of songs where if you're of our old ass's age, or if you were in your anywhere from 10 to 20 years old, when you hear some of these songs, it's just like, oh, yeah, I was sitting in jail, or I was sitting in the back of the fucking station wagon or whatever, or having a sandwich at the counter. at the five and dime, cut diagonally, or possibly into triangles.
Wow,
with toothpicks in it. The ham was a little salty.
One of my favorites to get.
I didn't ask for mayo. I sat on the side. There it was. Fuckers. Sarah, smile. That's what's in there. It's in the lyrics. It's in parentheses. Go ahead. What do you got?
I'm going to go with the number one song in...
No.
Love
Silly Songs. Love Songs by Wings.
Yeah. One of their worst songs.
Name a worse Wings song. But it was still good enough to be the number one song of the year. I saw it. Trust me. I didn't pick it on purpose, but I'm surprised we haven't had an overlap yet.
I picked it because of one of my next picks. Is going to surprise you.
It'll be a good song.
Surprise.
I'll be surprised if it's something that I've heard of, Neil Diamond over there. I was surprised that the Beatles sang...
Yeah, they had a hit the same year that...
Earth, Wind & Fire had a hit with it?
No, that the Wings had it.
And Ringo was on the charts that year, too.
Right, and the Beatles had broken up in 1970.
What's the song I'm thinking of? The not September. What's the other Earth, Wind, and Fire song? The Beatles sang it first. It's on my list. Hang on.
Yeah, why don't you just look there? Do you do show prep?
I don't. I don't have it. I didn't write it down.
Maybe it's on the other side.
No, that's a note. That's my other notes. That's my notes. It says shovel, duct tape, get Mark drunk. Anyway, okay.
While you're looking that up, the reason I did number one is because I'm going to stay number 100 on the Billboard Top 100 list.
Oh, look at you go.
Country boy, you got your feet in L.A.
John Denver. No, Glen Campbell.
Glen Campbell.
Saw the list.
It's actually a pretty good song.
Okay. I'm sure it is. You are such a good describer of songs. It's almost like doing my thing with my glasses again. Is that Casey Kasem over there? Is that Rick Dees?
I'm not good at singing.
Just know that this is a podcast about music, and if it's a song that you think no one's ever heard of, just by saying the name of the song, I mean, is it me?
But everyone has...
Audience, write in to theascertainers@gmail.com on the email machine and tell Mark, hey, you're the songbird of your generation. Just sing a few bars.
Can I mention, while you're emailing...
Can you tell I cupped my... Like
I can.
Like I'm telling you a secret?
No, but...
I am an alien.
But you're on device to email me, which you could easily look up the song and listen to it.
No. But do that after you bitch at Mark, because all you're doing is enabling him if you look it up on your own.
I don't know why they have to listen to me butcher a song.
You're going to pretty much ruin the whole idea of why they should listen to any of this, but okay.
But I bring it to their attention. They would never have looked it up unless we brought it up. He flipped me off.
No, I flipped my phone off here. Song. Hang on.
Yeah, but you gave me eye contact.
I know. I also also spat at you. I didn't mean to do that. God damn it. I mean, every time I looked up 76 shit, it was there. Now I'm specifically looking up Beatles 1976 song. It's not coming up. I'm going to go like this. Watch this. Oh, my. Got any other songs? Here, I'll do one, and I'll let you talk about it.
That was...
Frampton, nice. Do you feel? Interesting fact, that came out in 1973 as a studio, on an album. But it got popularized by Frampton Comes Alive, which came out in 76. So that's what I'm going with on that.
Wow. That's it? Come on, man.
Well, no, I thought you would talk about it while I'm looking shit up on my phone.
You know, this is a music podcast.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it should be sponsored by Google because we're both hitting that like a crack pipe. Earth, Wind, and Fire. They're good.
Who?
Got to Get You Into My Life. Thank
get
you.
Into my life.
So the Beatles sang that.
Right.
And I'm like, no way the Beatles, because I'm like, who else did a better job of that song? And it was Earth, Wind, and Fire. Revolver.
When did they recover it? Cover
after the Beatles. That's how covers work.
Right, but that the Beatles came out with that earlier. Did it make the charts again because of Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I think Earth, Wind, and Fire probably charted higher with it.
No, but that's why the Beatles charted back again. So that song was released by the Beatles in
1976.
No, it wasn't. They are already broken up. I know it was a hit in 1976, but I'm saying it was
Oh my God, it's almost as if the phone was listening. A cover version by Earth, Wind, and Fire was issued as a single in July of 1978 by Columbia Records. Their rendition reached number one on the Billboard Hot Soul.
But that didn't answer our question. When did the Beatles?
Well, I answered the question. I will verify the question. You see,
because they broke up in 1970.
Wow.
And Paul McCartney was already playing with Wings in 1976.
Well, let's just look at this.
So my point was that did it chart earlier, 5 years earlier, and then make a comeback because something else happened?
Okay. It was from Revolver, so that tells you a lot right there. What year did Revolver come out?
I don't know.
'66. Why is it on the 1976 charts?
That's what I'm trying to get to you, and you were arguing with me the whole time.
The song was issued in the United States as a single from the rock and roll music compilation album in 1976, 6 years after the Beatles disbanded.
Right.
So I'm not wrong. Another cover version by Earth, Wind, and Fire from the Sgt. Pepper film soundtrack peaked at number 9 in the U.S. in 1978. So it was released in 66, but it made the charts.
Oh, no.
Hold on. This is a single by the Beatles in 1976. So as a single, I Am Vindicated.
Yeah, but why would the Beatles release that in 1976?
It has nothing to do with why. It just it happened. you need me to come up with a reason that you're okay with?
Why didn't the Beatles release other singles and reap in the royalties?
It says they also had the Long and Winding Road. You haven't heard of that one.
The Winding?
Yeah. I'm just going to put this right here so that you don't think I'm feeding you porky pie.
Oh, that's Wikipedia. Oh, now I understand. That's got to be truthful.
I know, I put it on there this afternoon. Hey, you see how fast I was typing over here? All right, what do you have? We only have a couple minutes left, even though we leapt into this episode.
I have Bay City Roller had two top 100 hits.
Saturday Night and?
Money Honey, which I don't really recall.
Oh, yeah. I think Neil Diamond sang that, too. No, I think that was Billy Idol, Moni Honey, and Tommy James and the Shondells. All right, here's my cool ones. I'm going to go with my disco one. And it was up there with, was that last episode or this episode you had one that was kind of, what was your first one you mentioned tonight? Car Wash.
Yeah.
Or was that in the last episode?
That was last episode.
All right, well, I'm going to go with a song by The Miracles called Love Machine.
Ooh.
Do you remember the song?
I don't. Hum a few bars.
Unlike you, I'm going to go ahead and put myself out there. The best part about Love Machine, other than the fact that it's just a good, catchy, I would put it in the disco realm, was the backing, like, accent voice, where it was, I'm going to try to do this. I'm just a love machine, and I don't work for nobody but you. They had that guy in the background. All throughout the song, he's making these, like, fucking megaphone noises. You don't recall the song based on that
look. I don't.
Based on the lack of expression on your face.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
That was like mugshot serious you were looking at me.
Sorry.
I'll play it for you later. And you can play me that Neil Diamond one, and then I'm going to lock the doors and after I let you out. And I'll call Diane and go, don't pick him up for another hour. He needs to learn a lesson. So, all right. I've got one more. I did Sarah Smile, Love Machine, Do You Feel, and More Than a Feeling. I have one more. Do you have any more?
I could do C.J. McCall.
Convoy. There was another kind of novelty song that year that was that made the charts.
Is it the one you were going to bring up?
Nope.
Go ahead.
It was Junk Food Junkie.
Oh, I don't recall that one.
I think it was like Jim Gross. It looks like Jim Croce, but it's a G. I don't think it was Jim Croce. Lord, I'm a junk food junkie. It's like a kind of a Ray Stevens, the street kind of a song.
Was it a top 100?
It was in the, it charted.
Wow.
I only look at charting songs. You don't believe me. Look at you.
I'll look it up.
Son of a bitch. All right, my number one, only because it makes me think of the era so much, and it's such a good song, was done by a group out of, I think, New York City, by the name of, well, I'll just name some members. Peter Criss, Ace Frehley, Paul Stanley, and Sir Gene Simmons. Kiss. Oh, that is so fucking hot. Anyway, the song is a ballad. It's called Beth. I also had a friend growing up, his name was Beth. That didn't hurt. But anyway.
It actually is a very good song.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And the amount of Pelvi ground at junior high dances of that one, boy. Yes, the corduroy.
It was like fire starting.
Agonizing. It was like, I don't know. Oh, that's my chapstick. Don't sweat it, man. It's cool. Oh, looks like.
Turn the hips. Turn
the chapstick's leaking a little bit there, pal. Anyway, that's what I had for that. There's a lot of feelings coming out there. Oh, some of my honorable mentions. I almost went with Barry Manilow, I Write the Songs, because such a good song. And again, it kind of takes you back.
Although that is kind of like Piano Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like how awesome I am?
Yeah.
I forget which comedian that was that would just destroy Billy Joel. Oh, wow, you hit her so hard. God, you're so awesome. What are you doing here, you fucking prick? Anyway, amazing song in its simplicity, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. It's just got the snare drum. And then I think like an acoustic guitar maybe in it. Phenomenal. Hard Rock, Fog Hat, Fool for the City, I think was the name of the album.
But Slow Ride was
one of the best album covers. Do you remember the album cover?
I don't.
It's a guy sitting in the middle of like a busy intersection in New York's or some busy metro area. Fishing in a manhole, so he's sitting in a chair.
Now I do
he's,
recall.
Got a fishing pole, and it's going down a manhole. I had Dreamweaver, I had Convoy, Frankie Valli, December 1963. I never saw Jersey Boys. Good. I didn't know that Frankie Valli was a singing drummer. Did you? For that song, he was, and it freaked me out when I saw it.
I did see Jersey Boys, but I see all those
show tunes. Well, that adds up.
Broadway hits, but.
But matinees, because you're cheap, too. And there's likelihood of you seeing someone you know by yourself at that show. Or with a, what looks to be a person who's new in town. I don't know what that person,
that's just good.
I don't know why the guy's dressed like that either. Oh, did I say guy? Anyway, so what were you raising your hand about? You want to end it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I had a couple more to do, and then we can end it.
Let's end
it. Oh, shit. Well, no, we got a little pausing to do.
No. Maybe do another one.
I want to do one where you cut me off in the middle of it, but you have to edit that part out so it seems spontaneous. I'd really love to see
that.
All I want to say was that some of the great, the band names were just legendary. Hamilton Joe Frank and Reynolds. Hey, how's it going? I got a table for Joe. That show? Sorry. Go ahead. Beat it.
Well, thank you for listening. We have a Facebook page. If you like what you hear or hate what you hear.
Yes, preferably.
Make a comment. And we also have an email account, theascertainers@gmail.com. Shoot us a message.
I changed it this week. It's now England Dan and John Ford Coley @gmail.com /theascertainers/theascertainersburger. /sorrycore.
But we'd love to hear from you, even if you want to say bad things.
Listen to Remo Drive, Fiji, and Think Drink Disney.
Good night.
Night.